Please join me in prayer for understanding of God's word. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. The second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God.
So a fifth grade girl was working so diligently on her homework that her father became curious and asked her what she was doing. She said, "I'm writing a report on the condition of the world and then how to bring peace." "Isn't that a pretty big order for a young girl?" her father asked. And the girl responded, "Oh no, don't worry. There are three of us in class working on it." That's the can-do attitude. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I imagine that here in this room, there's not one of us who deep down does not want peace. We all want peace, right? Yep. And there's just something about this Christmas season where peace just seems possible. Because after all, it is a theme of the season. We hear it in the angelic pronouncement I shared with the children this morning that said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." And then Handel, in his Messiah, puts the words of the prophet to music again, as Robert read for us this morning, "And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And we sing carols like "Silent Night," and "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," and "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And we send greeting cards wishing people peace in the season and peace throughout the year. There's just something about the season, and that yet it seems somewhat idealistic because in the midst of it all, there's still hurting and harming and hating in our world. There seems to be so little peace. The words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow come to mind. He wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. In despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, but hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men." For each of us, I think there are different things that can disrupt our peace. For some, it's the barrage of news that we get day in and day out, news of war and terrorism and refugees without homes. Places like Paris and Ferguson and San Bernardino can get us all stirred up. When I was up in Sholo, there were about six people up there who, in the course of the years I was there, approached me, and they were people that this was the sort of thing that really disrupted their peace. And they said, "I just can't get peaceful." Well, it came to pass that they were all news junkies. They listened to news all day. And I said, "You know, the news is pretty much the same most of the day, unless it's a news-breaking news story, it's pretty much the same." And so I said, you know, cut down the news to an hour or so a day, and of course your newspaper, and then see what happens. And sure enough, every one of them came back and said, I feel so much better. Because if we keep taking it in, it's going to disrupt our peace. Now, for some, those world events are troubling, but it doesn't disrupt peace. It might be family, the things that go on in family with estrangement, abuse, and addiction, and other things that go on in life of families that can cause tension and destroy the peace that we enjoy. Or it could even be more personal. It could be guilt over something done or not done, or unforgiveness, or that voice in the back of our head that might be years and years ago but is still there, that's saying that we're worthless or that we'll never amount to anything. Might be finances or health or wrestling with agonizing decisions about loved ones. There are lots of things within ourselves that can destroy our peace. Peace is what we long for, but sometimes it eludes us. Which is why I come back to Longfellow's poem, because he doesn't leave us hanging in despair. He continues. He writes, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward all. Amen. Christmas brings us many gifts, and in the season of Advent, we light candles that represent the gifts of hope, of joy and love, and of course, peace. Today's candle. We remember from last week that Advent simply means coming. And we celebrate during the time of Advent the coming of Christ into the world the first time. And in Advent, we also kind of are in that anticipation, that standing on our tippy toes, looking off at the horizon, waiting for Christ to return and the fulfillment of Isaiah's vision of peace when he says, swords will be turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, and leopard will lie down with the lamb, and people will no longer hurt one another. We wait for that day, but Advent's come already. Christ has come, and Christ is the Prince of Peace. He was born to usher in a new reign where peace is possible. And it's considering, as I did with the children, that God's peace is, in the Hebrew, shalom. And it's not our typical definition. It means harmony, wholeness, and completeness. And it's possible in this in-between time. We sing it when we sing the song 666 in our hymnal, shalom to you. It's a blessing. Or we greet one another in the peace of Christ, and also with you when we do those kind of greetings. We share a peace that is possible today. When Jesus spoke to his disciples on the eve of his death, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The birth of Christ and the new reign of God that he brought with him, and that is among us today, promises peace in the midst of our troubled times. And so today we light the candle of peace and we look at three layers of that peace. One is an inner peace, peace with ourselves, another is peace with others, and the other, peace with God. As we look at inner peace, I think of the movie Home Alone, the original, a young boy named Kevin, who his parents and family inadvertently left behind in their mad dash to get to the airport to take a flight to go on vacation. Kevin discovers he's alone, and at first he is excited. He's got the house to himself, he eats whatever he wants, and he jumps on the bed. But at some point in time, he decides that he's missing his family. And he decides on Christmas Eve to go to church. And he meets an older man there who is also sad because of some problems in his family. And they begin to engage in a conversation, and Kevin admits that he felt guilty about the way he had treated his family, and he was really missing them. And the man said to him, well, you're in church now, and this is the place to come when you're feeling bad about yourself. And he's right. The church is that place we come to when we need comfort, when we need forgiveness, when we need discernment, when we need to make a new start or peace for our troubled soul. In that way, the church is really like a hospital. We don't think of the church that way, but we should at times. The church is a hospital because where else do we meet the great physician? But here in church, where we can bring that which is troubling us, that which is broken in our lives, that makes us uneasy, where we can be mended and healed and restored. Augustine wrote it this way. He says, "Our souls are restless, O Lord, until they find their rest in thee." Jesus knew this, and he offered the invitation. "Come ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." And so if we want peace with ourselves, we need to seek out Jesus. Then there's peace with others. You know, it's mind-boggling when you think how out of sorts we get with one another. We yearn for peace, but then we gossip and judge. We want peace, but we expend a great deal of energy brooding over the resentments and conjuring up ways to get even. And pride gets in the way of reconciling our differences and offering forgiveness. Unforgiveness only brings us harm. Revenge is not sweet. Hate poisons the soul. Resentment, jealousy, bigotry, prejudice, and unholy talk, all these things are spiritual viruses that will make us sick. And God knew this. God sent Jesus into the world to show us how to live in harmony with one another. He taught us that murder is more than taking a life. He said that if you just call someone you fool, you've committed it, recognizing that speech has the power to harm just as much as a knife or a gun. Jesus also showed us how to be peacemakers and bridge builders and reconcilers and to seek forgiveness and offer forgiveness. Some years ago, Hank Aaron was checking into a hotel and he met the desk clerk told him that there was no room in the hotel. Well, the manager of the hotel saw who it was and came racing over and said, "Don't you know who this is? This is Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves," and he just broke Babe Ruth's home run record. And so the young man said, "Oh, well, Mr. Aaron, we can find you a place here in the hotel. Why didn't you tell me that you were somebody?" And I love Hank Aaron's response. He said, "Son, everybody is somebody." And that's what Christmas tells us. Everybody is somebody. Everybody is somebody for whom Christ came, and everybody is somebody for whom Christ died. If we could always remember that and treat one another in that way, we would show more love and respect, and it would make a difference in our relationships and in our community. Sharon Ragland, a colleague of mine, and I was her associate at St. Mark's for a year. She always handled difficult situations and every kind of situation, but really the difficult ones, by saying, by asking herself the question, "What is the most loving thing to do or say?" And she taught me that. And it's a good bit of information. In this situation, how can I be the most loving and how can I say the most loving things? And I endeavor to do that, but I am human. And so at times I fail. And despite all of our best efforts, we still at times are not at peace with others. It might be a parent, a spouse, a neighbor, a child, a friend, or that stranger who cuts you off in traffic. We all know that one. Trappist monk Thomas Merton said it, and I love it. We are not at peace with others because we're not first at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. Merton is saying that it's not possible to have the peace of God in ourselves and in our relationships unless we first have peace with God, which leads me to this morning's readings. On the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace, and on the second Sunday of Advent, we always hear from John the Baptist. He's a strange Christmas figure as he comes to us in camel hair and eats locusts and honey and yells, "Repent," because that's just not a message we expect to hear at Christmas. But it's a good message to hear at Christmas. There was a couple who were driving down the street one day, Christmas time. They were listening to Christmas songs on the radio, and the husband was busy trying to negotiate the busy holiday traffic. Well, the wife became nostalgic, and she says, "Herbert, do you remember how when we were younger, we used to sit closer together as we drove along. It was so wonderful back then. What happened? And he said, I can't say. All I know is that I haven't moved. It's a good analogy. John appears to us on the second Sunday of Advent to invite us to consider, have we moved? He gives us that message of repentance, which simply means to turn, to reorient our lives back to Christ, or as his calling was, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make the path of peace. And so those crooked places are made straight, and the valleys are made up, made high, and the mountains are made low. It's an image from the Old Testament and ancient times of making a way for a royal caravan. Because before they traveled, they would send out people to clear the way. And so they would have to straighten the path so the royal caravan could come. That's what John the Baptist is asking us. The royal caravan is coming. Christ is coming again. And are we ready to receive him into our lives? Do we need to clear out some obstacles? Do we need to move over? And so I turned to the Nativity. I went to the Journey to Bethlehem at First UMC, and there were lots of nativities there. It was quite stunning. But you know, it's always a very serene-looking scene. And we forget that Jesus was born into a homeland that was under Roman rule. He was born in the midst of a tax census, and his birth would result in the slaughter of hundreds of male children at the hands of a jealous king. There are artistic impressions of the Nativity that I think are quite powerful. It's the ones where there's the shadow of the cross on the cradle, or the cross can be seen in the window of a stable. Because Jesus was born into a world of conflict. Conflict within, conflict among people, and conflict in the greater world. He bore our sin and guilt on the cross, and he died to make us right with God. For before him, humanity was at odds with God. We were enemies of God. But through his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection, we now have peace with God. And this is where peace begins. Because we cannot have peace with ourselves, peace with others, until we have peace with God first. Poet Angelus Silius wrote, though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if he is not born in you, your soul is all forlorn. It's like I taught the kids this morning. If we know Jesus, we'll know peace. If we know him with our heart and mind. But if we don't know Jesus, if we have no Jesus, then we have no peace. So I ask you today, do you know the one who was born on Christmas Day? Do you know him? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him as the one who came to redeem your life, to save you, and to give you peace? Have you accepted him into your heart? If not, I invite you, today is as good a day as any to invite Jesus in. Or did you receive the gift, but you've discovered through life's turns that you've kind of moved over in the seat? You're not as close as you once were. Well, Christ is there to bring you back, to move in closer, and to receive him anew, to prepare him room, as the song says. So there was a father sitting and watching television when his son came running over, and he says, Dad, play with me. Soon, son, when the program's over. 5 minutes later, the boy came back, and he says, Dad, can we play? And dad says, soon, son, soon, when the show's over. 2 minutes later, the son returns again. Dad, can we play? And the dad realized he was not going to get any peace, and so he looked and on the floor was the newspaper, and there was a big picture of the world on it. And so he tore out the piece from the paper, and he tore it into several pieces. And he says, I have a game for you, son. Take and put this back together. And then when you get done, we'll play. So the child takes off, and the father thinks, okay, now I've got a good 20 to 30 minutes. Well, it wasn't long before the child returned. I'm finished. Can we play now? And the father was stunned to see, as he turned around, his son was holding the picture of the world, each piece taped together in the right position. The dad was wondering, do I have a child prodigy? and asked how quickly. How come you did that so quickly? That would have taken me 20 minutes. And the child said, oh, that's easy, Dad. On the back of the world was a picture of a person. So I put the person back together, and that's when the world came together. Think about it, because that's exactly what Christ did. Christ came to put each of us back together, and that as Christ does that, the world is put back together, one person at a time. As we receive and embrace God's gift of peace, God's world is renewed, and we have peace with God, we have inner peace, and peace with others. And so, may you and yours truly experience the peace of Christ this year and forevermore. Amen.